99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 a.m. New York City time, and time for Back of the Book. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And Back of the Book right here.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I think it's probably about 5 a.m. and you're listening to all.
We're all doomed, you know. The whole silly, pathetic lot of us. Doomed by the air we're about to breathe.
Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
This is our 138th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top story throughout the entire multiverse this past week is, on Twitter, we have rocketed up to the huge number of 126 followers. Oh, my, that's kind of amazing, that many. People are saying we didn't know there were that many people in the multiverse. But there we are, 126, a new high. I expect some of them are going to bail out pretty soon, but that's life. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on this coming Wednesday, June 14th, 2023, at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And as we've noted before, the CDC website isn't giving a lot of up-to-date information about COVID-19 in America these days, although they're saying that total deaths are at 1,131,439 and that there's been a 14.3% downtick in COVID-19 deaths in the past week.
I can give you a really short report on what's been happening in New York State, according to the wastewater.
Go ahead.
It appears that the numbers of COVID, the virus in the wastewater, the virus particles seem to be going up for a number of the counties in New York State and also in New York City, except for Manhattan. But the other boroughs, they appear to be increasing, which is not an unusual thing because the past two summers, and of course, we're unofficially in summer now, right, in New York City, the numbers went up. So this appears to be happening now. They do a two-week period, and then they publish the report. So you can check all this up on the New York State government's website and see what you think.
Yeah, that is an amazingly useful thing to look at the wastewater and look for the viral particles in the wastewater, because you can't lie about that, and everybody produces wastewater. Oh, it's a very efficient way of conducting a poll. You can't lie. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. And when the new boosters are put out in the autumn, I'm sure we'll get those as soon as we can as well. It's LGBT plus infinity Pride Month. And as I said in the previous program, I am probably not marching again this year. I haven't marched for the previous 3 years due to the pandemic and the fact that, oh boy, I'm even more vulnerable than we'd thought I was going to be. And so I can hardly walk three blocks, and waiting around for a long time, which is what we always have to do, is tiring, and I don't think I could do that well. So I'm going to skip it this year. I'm hoping to get back into next year's march. We'll see how that works out. Well, we had quite a smoker this past week, didn't we? And we're gonna get more of it. Yeah, what a big smoke mess this was. The air quality index for June 7th was reported as being 484 out of 500. The scale goes from 0 to 500. New York City was at 484, according to various sources. That is a hazardous level. That is obviously, it's only 16 short of absolute awfulness, and it's hazardous. It's way into the hazardous level. The Fox Weather Channel said it had only gotten up to 436. I think they might have some biases there. Yeah, only. It's still very hazardous, and oh my gosh, that would still be a record. But the record that they're quoting every place else is 484. That was really bad. And, oh boy, I looked at the sun coming up the day before. This was on Wednesday that we hit the 484. And basically on Tuesday and Wednesday, we could chant, "We're number one! We're number one! We're number one!" Yes, New York City had the worst air pollution in the world of a major city on Tuesday and Wednesday. We beat out Delhi. We beat out Beijing, or Peking, if you want to. Anyway, and we beat out all these other places that usually have awful air pollution, and we were number one. and that wasn't so good. On Tuesday and Wednesday, as the sun came up, I took photographs because the sun was really weird looking. It was this red ball that you could look right at because it was so much stuff in the air that it attenuated the sunlight. And unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to mess with the photographs because it didn't quite come out in the photograph I took, because I have a crappy little camera and I think it averages things out and stuff like that. And so it's most of the reddishness, which is what we really saw for the whole disc of the sun, is all concentrated around the perimeter of the sun in the photograph. So, oh well. But it does catch that lovely hue of the atmosphere. Oh, that was really something. And so what happened was, it was looking bad on Tuesday, and so Pickle said, well, we'll put the curtains down, and we'll hope that that works. So it was down. Then she was talking to somebody, and I said, I want to go look out the window and see how bad it looks. So I lifted the curtain. I got a whiff right in my face, and oh, man, what a whiff. It was as if someone were barbecuing right on the windowsill. Oh, it was pretty bad. So I told Pickles about it, and we battened down all of the hatches at this point in time. And Pickles is badly affected by that level of air pollution. I felt it a bit, too. Even though the windows were closed, we still got some because the apartment is, like, so porous. When somebody's cat decides to make wee-wee all over the baseboards, we smell it. When somebody's cooking, I don't know what the hell these people cook, we end up smelling that garbage. So any kind of an odor goes right through. We know that. And we also had the smoke managing to get through other parts of the apartment, not just the windows. The windows we really had nailed down, but it came through everywhere else. And we only opened the window when it started to rain, just before we put the last touches on this radio program in our preparation. And they say that there's another plume, as they call it, coming down tonight and then again on Sunday. So I guess we'll have to close all the windows again for those events. Maybe this is a part of the climate crisis. Maybe. Even the Fox Weather Channel had people on saying that this is related to climate change. A part of why this is happening to us is not just that there are all these fires. All of Canada seems to be on fire.
Well, yes, you have the old growth forests of British Columbia, the western forests of Alberta. You have the boreal forests of Quebec and Nova Scotia. So, yeah.
It's a lot to burn.
Yes. And they've had drought and very warm weather, two things highly unusual, but probably will become somewhat the norm due to, as they're calling it now, the climate crisis.
Yeah. And so what happened was, with all that burning, you had a low pressure zone out in the Atlantic, just off the coast of New England. And then you had a high pressure system just north of the American border in Canada. And that formed what's referred to as an omega system right there, because the jet stream forms basically you could conceive of it as the capital letter omega around it. But the thing is, a high goes in one direction and a low spins in the other direction. Conservation of angular momentum and all that. And so the high and the low being near each other, they form a zone between them where they're just a conveyor belt. They're just shoving loads of air. All the air is getting shoved between those two things, and it's monstrous volumes. And I've seen this before where we've had that kind of thing where we had the low and the high in some proximity. And there was no smoke at that point, luckily. And, oh, man, it got windy. It got windy as hell. High sustained winds and big gusts, because that's what it will do when you have two big weather systems working together to move all of the air in a certain direction. Usually the air just gets spun about because these things spin. But when they get together like that, a high and a low, they cooperate, and it's really not much fun. So, yeah, people were saying that it looked apocalyptic on Wednesday because it was red. The sky was red, and it did look like that. It looked like a science fiction movie, as people were saying. Some people also said that it looked like the planet Mars. And yeah, sometimes we see the dust storms on Mars. And of course, all of the dust on Mars is red. And so it kind of looks a little bit like that. Although, of course, on Mars, the atmosphere is so thin that it's very different. But the sight is not too different.
Well, this is going to keep happening, I feel certain.
Yeah,
because we've changed the way our planet operates, basically. And when I say we, I mean humans who are part of nature. We're just a part of nature that has gone a little wacky. I don't know what can be done about this. I mean, God, those
get rid of those humans. Oh, wait a minute. No, that won't work. Well, it would work, but
well, but why should we? Because we can be wonderful as well as awful. So we want to stick around and keep on being part of nature. But we want to have, like, the rest of nature be there with us. And these forests are so important. And it's really horrible for the people who live right there, though a lot of it is, like, out in the wilderness. But there are people who also live. There are indigenous people who live in these forests. I mean, lots of evacuations. And then you have everyone being affected, having to try and not breathe in this toxic brew from these forest fires. So all I can say is there's some very good maps. If you go to the National Weather Service, you can scroll down and you can look through the little menu. You can find a smoke map. It shows you where the fires are happening, what's happening where you live, what could be coming. There's some very good websites. And keep your masks.
Yeah.
Not only is COVID still around, those masks work. Those masks work.
The N95 works, yeah.
And the KN95, too.
Yeah. And we had Uncle Sidney over visiting on Wednesday by happenstance. And, oh, boy, you walked with him back to the subway, and that was not fun, was it?
Well, we walked very slowly. And, I mean, I had my glasses on, so that helped. And I also had a very good mask on, and he did too. Except for the part where he pulled it off his nose just to see what was going on. It's like, Sidney, no!
Oh, well.
He did it for like a second, but still, no! Anyway, but those masks really, really do work. And it's interesting, walking over there, very few people wearing masks. And then walking back, all of a sudden, it was like the early days of COVID. It was really amazing. But that's a good thing that people were putting their masks on.
Yeah, the anti-maskers probably don't have any. So they probably sucked in a whole lot of smoke. And they said that spending a few minutes outside breathing was equivalent to smoking up to 11 cigarettes in that period of time, which is really bad.
Oh, it's so bad for everyone. I mean, I am right now, I am still stuffed with asthma spray and headache meds because, man, it's like day three.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Donnie Bonespur Trump has found a way to get himself into the news yet again. Yeah, Trump's legal problems are showing up some more. He's been indicted by a federal grand jury in Florida for charges related to taking classified documents to his Mar-a-Lago resort when he left office. Should say, stealing the documents is what we should call it. We are hearing that a 49-page indictment has been handed down, and there are serious felony charges in there. You probably know more about this than we do, since we're doing this program, this recording, on Friday afternoon, and you're listening to this program on Saturday morning or even later than that. Trump is to appear before a judge for arrest and arraignment on Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. I wonder if he's going to be given special treatment because this is happening in Florida. You know, he moved from New York to Florida officially, and he used to be pals with Ron DeSantis. Not so much anymore. And so his new pal, Ron DeSantis, says, "Hey, I want to get the job you used to have," as if that scumbag could do the job. Neither one of those scumbags could do the job. And so Trump has a lot of connections now in Florida, and some of the judges there have been appointed by Trump. And you have to wonder if he's going to end up getting some special treatment. I don't know. I think it's entirely possible. There was that one Florida judge who was making outrageous rulings that had to be overruled by appellate courts and stuff. And I don't know if she's going to be a part of this.
Apparently she's going to be at the arraignment. She's going to be presiding at the arraignment, I believe. So.
Wow, I wonder if she's going to try and screw around with that. You know, a federal judge can be impeached. And if you do enough bad stuff, other judges will say, "Look, this one's got to go." So, oh boy, if she screws around with this, like says, "Oh, there's nothing here. Case dismissed with prejudice," which means I think that it's done. I think she would run into serious problems. I hope that she would run into serious problems. Anyway, this is the first time in American history that a former president has faced federal criminal charges. Now, a former vice president faced criminal charges. That was Aaron Burr. He faced treason charges. And Aaron Burr was vice president of the United States from 1801 to 1804. He was almost the president of the United States because in those days, the way they elected the president was different. You had everybody running for president. And Aaron Burr did do that. And other people ran as well. Thomas Jefferson ran. Jefferson came in first, so he became president. Aaron Burr came in second, so he became vice president. A very interesting way of doing things, which after, you know, a couple of decades, people said, "This doesn't work." So they made a different system after that. I think they amended the Constitution to fix that little mess. Anyway, from 1801 to 1804, Aaron Burr was vice president of the United States. And he went on trial in 1807 for treason. And what he'd been doing is he'd gone to Blennerhassett's Island and off in what then was the Far West, which was really like the Mississippi River. And he had gone with some other guys and they were going to invade Mexico and take it over. That's what he was trying to do. And they got him on a treason charge. And, oh boy, a lot of law came out of that because Thomas Jefferson made some remarks that were very similar to remarks that Richard Nixon had made about Charles Manson, because Charles Manson was on trial during Nixon's administration, and Nixon declared him guilty. And that's a problem. This is the thing that Thomas Jefferson had done with the Aaron Burr trial. He basically said, before and during it, I think the phrase was the hand of malignity. So Burr went on trial in 1807, and he was acquitted. So there is that. Trump is the highest indicted federal official ever, and I would like to see him not get acquitted. But if Trump does dodge the conviction for the documents case because of his Florida connections, I think that he will not be able to do so for the other criminal cases that will be coming down around him over the summer. I mean, he's already lost to E. Jean Carroll in a civil case. And he's got all these other cases, and boy, is there ever evidence. Apparently, there's serious evidence in this documents case, too. But we have serious evidence in those other cases that are coming down that are like the January 6th stuff and other things. But all of this stuff, these prosecutors aren't bringing these charges against a former president just for the fun of it. They figure they've got him. So, oh boy, what I have to say is, lock him up! Hey, we got some good news this past week. Yeah, Pat Robertson kicked the bucket. Pat Robertson, who agreed with Jerry Falwell that gay people and people who supported women's reproductive rights caused 9/11. Oh, what a schmuckazoid those two were. Well, Pat Robertson is gone. We have a tradition for people like that, and here we go. The Pat Robertson witch.
News be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch or witch?
The Pat Robertson witch.
Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Wake up, you sleepy head. Rub your eyes, get out of bed. Wake up, the wicked witch is dead. She's gone where the goblins go. Below, below your bow. Let's open up and sing. And ring the bell, top ding dong, the merry go. Sing it high.
This past week, Judge Thomas L. Parker of the Federal District Court in Memphis, Tennessee, ruled that a law in Tennessee aimed at restricting drag shows was unconstitutional. The court ruled that the law was overly broad and violated the First Amendment. Hey, I said that when they first passed that stinking law. So far, the bigoted Tennessee law is only struck down in Shelby County, Tennessee, because that's where the complaint was filed. But if the Florida Attorney General appeals it and the lower court ruling is upheld, it will apply statewide. The Tennessee Attorney General says he is going to appeal it because it's a wonderful law. The law doesn't explicitly refer to drag, but forbids, quote, adult cabaret, unquote, including by, quote, male or female impersonators, unquote, on public property or any place where children can see it if the performance meets the state's definition of, quote, harmful to minors, unquote. Violators of the law would be charged with a misdemeanor for a first-time offense and a felony for subsequent offenses. Judge Parker said in his ruling that the law, quote, reeks with constitutional maladies of vagueness, unquote. He added that the legislature, quote, carelessly, if not intentionally, unquote, enacted the measure, quote, for the inappropriate purpose of chilling constitutionally free speech, unquote. Also, gee, if they run Milton Berle reruns from the 50s, somebody could get in trouble. I'm also thinking, you want to talk about the kids? Chuck McCann, he used to do a TV program. I don't know if it was national, but I know it was all over New York. I think it was on Sunday mornings. I don't remember if he did Wonderama or another one. I don't know. But he used to read the comics, and he would dress up as the comic characters. He dressed up as Dick Tracy, and then he dressed up as Little Orphan Annie. And so, I mean, they can't get Chuck McCann anymore. He's beyond any kind of earthly punishment. But, you know, that would be illegal to have that happening. But it was being broadcast, and the kids are watching Chuck McCann being Little Orphan Annie, doing a falsetto voice, Little Orphan Annie, as he did it. And then, of course, you've got the movie Some Like It Hot from the 50s, and a lot more stuff where drag does happen. Cross-dressing happens. The judge reportedly sketched out a scenario where a woman performing in an Elvis costume was far more likely to face punishment under the law than a man, and questioned whether an Elvis impersonator of either gender would be wholly protected under the law. Now, of course, Elvo Parsley was from Tennessee, and he's like a demigod in Tennessee, especially Memphis. And there are there are just these Elvis impersonators up the wazoo, and there are some female Elvis impersonators, because what the hell, everybody gets in on this silliness. So, yeah, that would apply. And I'm sure kids are brought to these Elvis impersonator shows that they do. I guess the bozos in the legislature didn't think about that. Judge Parker said that the law, quote, targets the viewpoint of gender identity, unquote. And yeah, that's true. What a big mess these Tennessee Republicans have made. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. As a lot of people know, we like to do science stuff on this program. And we are finally getting around to this particular topic. And yeah, let's talk about rogue black holes. So we've talked about gravitational lensing before. And gravitational lensing is the thing which occurs when light passes through a gravitational field. And gravity, of course, bends space-time. So the light, instead of coming directly in a straight line, curves. In fact, this was the big experiment, the big observation that was done in, I think it was 1919, which proved Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity, where he said gravity doesn't pull things or attract things. Gravity distorts space-time. It bends it. And he predicted that would happen. And there was a total eclipse of the sun. And scientists went out and they said, if Einstein is right, there are some somewhat bright stars that would be visible during this eclipse. And we know where they should be. So if they're not in the place where we think they should be, that'll show that the gravity of the sun was able to bend space-time and have the light travel in a somewhat different path. Of course, when you see these things, even if it's curved around, you see it as if it's a straight line, because it's coming in a straight line toward your eye. But the thing is that somewhere before it gets there, it has curved around. And we've talked about bigger things like entire galaxies or galaxy groups that will bend space-time with this gravitational lensing. And you can see things in back of them, and we've discussed that a bit in the past. Well, Well, they've been using gravitational lensing to explore the universe, of course, and we have another case of that fairly recently. I'm talking about an article that was in the May 2023 Astronomy Magazine. In that article, they note that so far, 20 black holes have actually been detected in this galaxy, and all of them were in binary systems. That's how they detect them, because you can see a star moving around, and what's making it move around like that? They figure out after a while, we can't see anything at all. We also have pictures that are put together from various means of the black hole at the center of our galaxy. It's a supermassive black hole. And also we've seen, first ever, the supermassive black hole at the heart of a galaxy called M87. That one is a real monster, and it's been well known for years before it could be really proven that it was really a black hole, because it has a jet. And what can happen is stuff circles into black holes, and especially in the supermassive ones at the centers of galaxies, and through various mechanisms, which are not fully understood, the black holes then shoot material out along the axis of their magnetic fields. This supermassive black hole is so powerful that you can see one of the jets blasting stuff out into space a great many, many light years past the galaxy, and it's very impressive. And so these things are super duper gigantic. And what they have talked about is, we only see these binary black holes. Are there rogue black holes? And what's a rogue black hole? Well, a rogue black hole is a black hole that's all by itself, that doesn't have another star with it. Because what happens usually also, besides a gravitational dance that the black hole and the star will do, the black hole will frequently be stealing gas from the surface of the star. That can sometimes be visible too, the stream of gas going in. And black holes, when they're what they call feeding, they have material accumulating around them because they're so heavy. And stuff accumulates around them in a disk. It's called an accretion disk. And that can light up quite a bit, because all of the stuff that's rotating around the black hole is in tremendous gravitational fields. And that stuff collides with each other, and it lights up, and it puts out a lot of energy. And that's another way you can tell, hey, there's a black hole. What happens if there's a rogue black hole? And there's been a lot of speculation about what that would be like. Would it have an accretion disk or not? Would it even exist? People figure they probably did exist, but they had not detected any. That is, until a team of scientists headed by Kailash Sahu from India, found a rogue black hole through microlensing. And they have thereby proven that rogue black holes do exist. Again, this is a black hole that's not attached to anything. It's not in a binary system with another star or anything that lights up, and it's moving. And get ready to note this down. The rogue black hole currently is called MOA-11-191/OGLE-11-462. Oh, that one. And OGLE there stands for Optical Gravitational Lensing Experiment, and it's based in Chile. The scientists said that they knew it was a black hole because it was very massive, what they were tracking, but there was no light coming from it. They needed more than that, though. They needed to be able to prove that it was really a black hole and that it was just wandering around by itself without any other indications other than its gravity. They were experimenting with how to do this. They figured it out. The team spent 6 years watching and analyzing the astrometric signal from a particular thing, which turns out to be this black hole. And again, they noticed that there was microlensing happening, and they just followed this little bit of microlensing. And of course, with a lot of this stuff for astronomy, you can look back at images from the past. And they started looking at this, and they said, oh, we better track this. And they spent 6 years tracking it. And for 270 days, the microlensing event was happening. And it had a narrow peak in the graph of the microlensing event. The narrow peak lasted for only 7 days. That's when it passed closest to a particular star. Now, it didn't pass close enough to attract it in, but the star was a background object, probably light years and light years away, and the black hole was the foreground object, relatively. And so they could see things changing, the look of things, the positions of stars changing in back of this unseeable thing. And because they tracked it for 270 days, they absolutely showed there was microlensing happening, because you got before and after pictures of the stars around it. And that microlensing event lasted for 270 days. And in that event, they were able to find a 7-day stretch where the graph really shows a big spike. And that's interpreted as being when the black hole, the rogue black hole, had passed closest to a particular star and had done the most radical gravitational lensing of the star's light. And then it continued on, and it dropped after that 7 days, and then it continues on and on. So that's really what they base this on, is it's very heavy and there's no light coming out of it, and it is microlensing. It's not a small thing happening. And they say, yeah, that pretty much is it. And the rogue black hole that's been detected, it's not named yet, but currently it's 5,200 light years distant from us. It's not going to harm us at all. And it's in the direction of the center of our galaxy. Scientists have determined that it weighs over 7 times the mass of the sun, and it's moving at about 28 miles a second. Now, with regard to the black holes observed in our galaxy, the scientists think that they've been observing a possibly biased sample. That is, this relates to those other black holes that have been all detected because they're in a binary system. And they think it's a biased sample, because the ones discovered in our galaxy average about 7 solar masses, but in other galaxies where they've been detected by gravity waves, the average black hole is a lot larger, up to almost 100 solar masses. So they're thinking, yeah, we're able to detect some of these black holes, mostly the binary ones, the 20 binary ones, but they ain't the big ones. There are much bigger ones. And gravity waves were something we talked about a couple of years ago when they were first detected, and I'm not going to get into how it works, but they can detect gravity waves. It happens, and it's also very complex. I'm not going into it right now, but they've detected these from various places. And it is estimated that there may be 100 million rogue black holes in the Milky Way galaxy. That's just in our galaxy. 100 million rogue black holes that aren't associated with anything else. They're just all alone, and they will not have accretion disks because they're not near anything that they can attract in and form an accretion disk with. They're just out in a vacuum of space. And, oh boy, these rogue black holes are impossible to spot directly. Yeah, if one were coming near us, we would never see it. We've talked about this before. I speculated on, yeah, that's something we could end up having a problem with sometime in the future. We wouldn't see it coming, probably. Maybe somebody would find microlensing happening around it. Maybe, maybe not. And there would be nothing you could do about it, even if you could see it. Because if something at 7 times the mass, let's just grab this average. If something that's about 7 times the mass of the sun starts coming at you, well, the sun keeps the entire solar system locked up. And almost all of the mass of the solar system is in the sun itself. There's a teeny fraction of the mass of the solar system that's in the planets and asteroids and comets and all that stuff way out that's icy. So, yeah, we would never be able to see it in time, and there would be nothing we could do about it. Various things that could happen would be that, for instance, depending on how it works, it might move bits of the solar system around. It might interact with the sun from a far distance and move the sun a bit, which would also move the planets with it. Possibly it could move things in an orderly way, and we would just notice that the stars are occupying slightly different positions from what we think they should be occupying, and that would be it. Worst part, of course, is that it could just come and slam right into the planet Earth. This is unlikely because this is like shooting a bullet with a bullet. Although I remember going to Gettysburg when I was a kid and they had a whole collection of bullets that had struck other bullets during the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863. I think a bullet striking another bullet is much more likely than a black hole slamming right into the planet Earth. What's more likely to happen is it'll either pass near the solar system and maybe dislodge some of the stuff out in the Oort cloud, which stretches maybe 2.5 light years out from the sun. And it's all icy stuff, a bit of rocky stuff. And it could dislodge some of that because the gravity would swirl things around. And you could have some of that stuff come flying in toward the inner solar system where we live, because the sun, of course, has serious gravitational attraction. And that could cause problems with stuff that we could see coming at us. It could also do things like pass through the solar system. If it passed closely enough, it could take like the planet Neptune and do something with it, maybe move it around somewhere, maybe make it so it gets whipped out of the solar system entirely. What effect would that have on the other planets? Or whip it in toward the sun. Oh boy, we don't want to see that happen. And it could do that same kind of thing to any or all of the other planets. And so there's really no telling what could happen from it, but none of it would be good. So yeah, there's no solution. We can't see it coming. And oh boy, you want to worry about something that you can really never do anything about? Worry about rogue black holes coming to hit you sometime in the future.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Oh, there's the bell. There's our warning bell that tells us that there's a lot of pollution coming in again. It's also the cowbell that tells us there's a cow on the tracks, because this is the Pitching Shift. This is going to be shorter than last time. Okay, this is WBAI New York, and this is listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, and what we do is we beg you for money. Everybody who runs anything, and you could sort of call WBAI a business in that we have to pay rent, we have to pay salaries, we have to pay all sorts of things, the same as everybody. You got to probably pay rent, you gotta pay for food and everything else, and so yeah, we gotta pay stuff too. Well, we are a radio station, but we're non-commercial, listener sponsored, so we're not selling Chevys and Fords on this air. We are asking you to be our sponsor, and what we do is we get on here and we beg you to sponsor us. And that's what I'm doing right now. What you can do is dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is what WBAI calls our sustaining membership, which means that you will be donating on a monthly basis. And Back of the Book is the name of this radio program. And what happens with a BAI buddy is you call 1-212-209-2950 and you say, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And when you do that, the people at the call center will ask you for your credit card or debit card number. And then they will ask you how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. You can donate $10 or $15 or $20 or more if you could afford it. And that would be on a monthly basis. And then you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged. And so they will take the money out on a specific date that you choose every month in order to make it so that it doesn't clash with other bills or make it so that you have a very low account or anything. So you pick the best date of the month to do the donation. And that will happen, and you can do, again, $10, $15, $20 a month, whatever figure you would like. Has to be above $10 these days. Used to be less, has to be above $10, $10 or above. So, 1-212-209-2950. And really, we hope that people can maybe call in and donate at this point in time. We don't have a lot of people donating to Back of the Book. We're told we have 3 BAI buddies. By the way, you can also make a one-time donation because we have elections coming up, and they're very important elections, and we want to make sure that the kind of folks who listen to this radio program will be voting. And so when you become a member of WBAI, you can vote. You become a member by donating $25 or more. So what happens then is you can call up 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to make a one-time donation of $25 or more to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book, and they'll take that, and that will make you a member. You have a deadline on this. You have to do it before the end of this month. So 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we do various things in this program. We talk about all sorts of stuff. We're talking about some current events. We also just did a rather large-ish science segment. And, yeah, the politics and the current events tend to shove our science segments around a bit. We can't get as many crammed in as we used to be able to. We had 2 hours of programming. But the deal is we just did one, and we do them here and there. And we're hoping that that will spur you on to say, yeah, we need more of this kind of programming. And this kind of programming isn't just what we do. It's also the time slot we're in. We're in 5 to 6. Now, you're listening to us right now, and it being late spring, almost the summer solstice, the sun is actually up as I'm talking, even though this is an overnight or late night radio program. Yeah, we used to be on from 1 to 3 a.m. and someone moved us. And so we're doing a program in the daylight right now, which is mostly for people who are up late at night. But I don't know how this is going to work. But if you want to keep the overnight programs on, you've got to support them. And the overnight programs are the programs that go from midnight to 6 a.m. So even though the sun is up right now, we are still an overnight program because we're on before 6. And there is, again, a push from some people to rent out WBAI's air 7 days a week from midnight to 6 a.m. Now, BAI could grab a bunch of money by doing that, but it would really wipe out all of the overnight programs. And I remember the late Robert Knight, who used to also do overnight programming, he referred to the overnight programs as the rainforest of WBAI programming, because a lot of stuff came out of the overnights that was new and different, and really was important to sustaining the health of the radio station. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
EcoLogic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
I'm sure they'll have something to say about the plumes. That would be very unhealthy.
We should be back here next week.
Those of you who have another plume coming through the overnight hours,
so take care of yourselves. If you have to keep the windows nailed down, do it.
Look out the window and enjoy the times we don't have plumes over.
Call 1-212-209.
Enjoy the look
of late 950.
And above
say
all,
you want to become a
BAI
buddy
that.
In the name of Back
Wondering
of the Book, or say you want to make a one-time donation.
He is a female Elvis impersonator
and,
in Tennessee, and get himself
if you
arrested.
A BAI buddy,
Dormouse
you get a tote
bag.
Said,
"Whoopee, tote bag slash book bag." And yeah, that's a premium for you right there. All right, thanks for calling in. Thanks for calling 1-212-209-2950 if you have done so. We are hoping that this will all work out. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
I'm sure they'll have something to say about the plumes. Okay, we should be back here next week. We're going to have another plume coming through soon. So take care of yourselves. If you have to keep the windows nailed down, do it. But look out the window and enjoy the times when we don't have plumes over us. Enjoy the look of late spring. And above all, remember what that wondering if he could claim that he is a female Elvis impersonator in Tennessee and get himself arrested, Dormouse said.
Winding your way down a Baker Street, lighting your head and
WBAI's local station board is holding its next regular meeting on Wednesday, June 14th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be held on Zoom and includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacific calendar at kpftx.org and on the WBAI website. You can also access the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. That's 929-205-6099. And enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. The meeting ID again, 922-457-2995. And as if that wasn't enough numbers, we also have a password. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency. So it's 995-995-99. One topic at this meeting, upcoming elections to elect new local station board members to join and ensure a robust WBAI 99.5 FM remains where the 99.5% can find it on the dial. 99.5 FM in New York. Again, the LSB meeting is Wednesday, June 14th at 7 p.m., and we hope you will join.
On Thursday, June 22nd, at SOB's 204 Barrack Street in Manhattan, there will be an historic night of dancing that will benefit WBAI. This special night will be part of a bi-continental event where the focus is on the celebration of Afrobeats music. You'll be able to listen to not only top DJs of Afrobeats here in New York City, but also top DJs of Afrobeats in Lagos, Nigeria. And the first show is at 7 p.m. and then the second show at 9 p.m. And this is all to benefit WBAI. To find out ticket prices, just call 212-209-2950 or go to give to WBAI.org online. Be part of this historic night on Thursday, June 22nd at SOB's 204 Varick Street in Manhattan. Be part of the fun.
Hello, I'm I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me. And I thank you.
I thank you.
Let's say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.